Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Wonder if there's a lot of people that look like Abraham Lincoln. So there's a segue to our next guest. We've been talking a little bit about this Monuments Commission here in Illinois that was looking at different statues, Christopher Columbus, etc., and should they come down? Abraham Lincoln is on the list of consideration. Michael Burlingame is an author, historian, and the Lynn Distinguished Chairperson at the University of Illinois in Springfield. Michael, you're on WGN. Thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for inviting me.
I suppose there's some people that look like Lincoln out there, huh?
Yes. Well, I was once told some people when I was an undergraduate that I was going on to graduate school in the Civil War and Reconstruction, and I looked like Abraham Lincoln. And my department chairman said, "Holy mackerel, Mike, you're ugly, but you're not that ugly."
Well, are the photos of Lincoln fair? Do we have a sense of what he looked like? Was he, you know, roughly handsome, or was he unattractive?
Well, it depends on the photograph, actually. The wonderful photograph that was taken just before the Gettysburg Address in 1863, where he's looking right at the camera, a very familiar photograph, makes him look quite handsome, in my view. Some of the pre-presidential photos, however, are not very flattering. He himself liked to make jokes about how ugly he was. And we have the life mask. We have two life masks of Lincoln, so we have a pretty good idea of what his features were, an excellent idea because of not just the photos, but also the life masks. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, yeah. Is it true, though, was he self-deprecating that way? Was that, we understand that to be a trait of his. Was that the case?
Oh, he loved to poke fun at his ugly features. It was said that somebody told him during the 1860 presidential campaign that his image, the photos that were being distributed, didn't make him look very handsome. And he said, "Well, that can be an important consideration because I know the case of a preacher who applied for a job, and he was a very well-known preacher and a very learned man, but he was turned down by the women's committee because he didn't look very handsome."
Well, let's do this.
If women could vote, they would vote against him.
Oh, that's right. Wait a minute. When Lincoln was president, could women vote?
No. That women didn't get the vote till 1919, and Lincoln was president from 1861 to 65.
Boy, 1919 seems relatively recent for something as fundamental as that, doesn't it? Okay, let's pause for a minute. We'll come back, and then tell me what you make of the consideration that the Monuments Commissions in the state and the city are giving to Abraham Lincoln, and what we should know that's right and wrong about that. So we're talking a little bit about Abraham Lincoln with a distinguished professor from Springfield at the University of Illinois down there, Michael Burlingame. He's an author and historian. Should we continue to honor Lincoln with statues and monuments around the city, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. And the notion that he should be canceled is just preposterous. And the main argument that's used is that he was insufficiently advanced when it came to racial views. But I published a book last year called The Black Man's President, Abraham Lincoln, African Americans, and the Pursuit of Racial Equality, which shows that in his interactions with black people, he was strictly egalitarian. And his egalitarianism began here in Illinois. Where he had neighbors who were black, he had clients who were black, he had servants who were black, friends who were black. And then when he was in Washington, he treated all callers, black or white, who came to the White House with the utmost cordiality and consideration. And Frederick Douglass gave a eulogy of Lincoln, which is not very well known, in which he said that Lincoln was emphatically the black man's president, which I use as the title of my book. And he went on to say, "Lincoln was the first president to show any respect for the rights of a black man or to acknowledge that he had any rights that the white man was bound to respect. He treated black people not as a patron, but as an equal." And so there's a great misunderstanding about the subject of Lincoln and his racial views.
But I could find quotes, and you know them better than I do, where he says things that are contrary to that, and that there was a certain pragmatism to him about keeping the union together at their expense. So how do we contextualize that?
Well, the main quote that's trotted out to show that Lincoln was a racist was a speech he gave in Charleston, Illinois, during the debates with Stephen A. Douglas, the incumbent senator, in 1858. And Douglas kept saying, don't vote for Lincoln, don't vote for the Republicans for the legislature, because they'll make black people voters and office holders and jurors, and they will allow black people to intermarry with whites, and that'll just be terrible. And Stephen A. Douglas was a shameless race baiter. And he kept saying to Lincoln, don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? And in those days, Illinois had what was known as the Black Code, which forbade black voting and office holding and intermarriage with whites and so on. And if Lincoln had said that if he had not denied the charge that Stephen A. Douglas was making, he would have immediately lost the election. And Lincoln regarded it as essential to defeat Stephen A. Douglas because he was doing the best he could to help the expansion of slavery facilitate it, even though he didn't publicly come out and say that that's what he really wanted. But his policies allowed for the expansion of slavery. And Lincoln said he's the most dangerous ally of the slaveholders, and he's got to be defeated. And so Lincoln paid lip service to the Illinois Black Code because he needed to do so in order to have a chance to defeat Stephen A. Douglas.
What about the execution of some Native Americans?
Oh, right. That's another thing that people bring up. 303 Dakota Sioux were condemned to death for having participated in an uprising in which there were many atrocities perpetrated by members of that tribe. And 303 were condemned to death. And Lincoln writes to the general in charge out in Minnesota, where the uprising took place, saying, don't execute any of these people till you submit the court records to me. So the court records are submitted. Lincoln goes over them with a couple of fellows, lawyers from the Interior Department, and he rules that 276 of these death sentences are overruled, but 38 are approved. So the notion, and those 38 were all executed on one day, which is the largest mass execution. But what people forget is that Lincoln pardoned or commuted the sentence of 275 of those. That episode is widely misunderstood.
I wonder what we should do with facts like that. The lip service, say, in a debate with Douglas, or the fact that while he saved a couple hundred, he did, though, allow for this mass gross execution. Should a monument... You know, there's going to be a lot of print on the base of these statues and monuments if we try and tell the full story. I wonder how we contextualize that in public displays in our city then.
Well, one way is to have a wider education about what Lincoln really did. And also the fact that when you take Lincoln's entire career into account, the abolition of slavery, and he endorses black voting rights. The last public speech that Lincoln gave was on April 11th, 1865, 2 days after Robert E. Lee surrendered. And a huge crowd comes to the White House, and they expect a big victory lap speech. Let's hear it for the Army. Let's hear it for the Navy. We won. They lost. But Lincoln doesn't do that. He says, let's talk about Reconstruction. And he says, I believe that some black people should be allowed to vote, at least those who serve gallantly in our ranks, that is soldiers, and the very intelligent, by which we presume he meant the illiterate. John Wilkes Booth was in the audience, and he said, that means N-word citizenship by God. That's the last speech he's ever going to give. I'm going to run him through. And 3 days later, Booth killed Lincoln, not because he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, not because he supported the 13th Amendment, but because he supported black voting rights. And so I think it's appropriate to regard Lincoln as a martyr to black civil rights, voting rights, as much as Martin Luther King or any of those other people who were killed back in the 1960s as they championed the civil rights revolution of that era.
Michael Burlingame, what's the title of that latest book of yours?
It's called The Black Man's President.
That's my next book. I'm going to pick it up and read it, and I'm going to call you again, sir. Thank you for your time today.
I thank you very much. Hope you enjoy reading it.
I will. Michael Burlingame, author and historian at the University of Illinois, Springfield.